Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, world. This is Cheater in the Rood. I'm Jeff Chrysler, the author of Get Rich Cheating. And joining me in spirit is Lee Papa. I am the writer of the Rood Pundit's blog and also the Rood Pundit's almanac. Oh my God, I'm totally so sweet. Tonight's show will address several big questions. Who is left to run for the Republicans, and where are they going to run, and how many lemmings will fall off the cliff with them? How big are the Dem balls? And I am referring to Democrats and balls. And most importantly, will Lee Papa, the Rood Pundit, make it into the studio in time for me to make him feel bad for being late? Katie, our wonderful tech person. Are you a tech person? Is that your title?
Some people say engineer, some people say producer.
Were you online? Were you on air just now when you answered the question?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, good. So I can't make up something. Katie doesn't think Lee's going to make it. I think he is going to make it. Listen, here's what happens in the world. When you're a wonderful, amazing, incredible person like Lee Papa, sometimes traffic gets up in your face and it smacks you around. And things happen. But doesn't matter because you know what? We are simpatico. And we are ready to discuss the big issues of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to do something first. I'm going to open up the phone line today. We're going to see if anyone out there is listening. If you are and you have something to say about anything that we're talking about or anything at all, please give a ring to 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And do me a favor, tell Katie, our engineer, just how pretty she is and how talented she is when you do that. So let's talk about what's going on in the Republican Party right now. The Republican field, we're talking presidential campaign. I know it's early, but it's never too early to get into it. A lot of news recently has come out. Of course, Newt made his announcement a couple weeks ago that we talked about. This past weekend, Mitch Daniels dropped out, and Tim Pawlenty, T-Paw, finally announced his official entry into the field. And Sarah Palin had a book written about her, which part of me thinks is part of her strategy to play a victim so that she can come back and rise like the phoenix. Ironically, she will get a house in Arizona. T-Paw, Newt, and Mitt, I believe, are the significant declared candidates. There's also the guy, the guy that used to run the pizza place, who, as a Rood pundit said, probably caused more death than Osama bin Laden, but that's another issue. So T-Paw, Newt, and Mitt, sort of the worst boy band ever. Tax cuts. You're fucked. This is as much rhythm as they have combined. I think that's an accurate description. So, Pawlenty, some news that was shined on me this week as a beacon of truth came into the bathroom stall in which I sit waiting for Republican senators to rub their hands beneath the divider, was that Tim Pawlenty, speaking of Minnesota, when he was governor of that state, and I never understand why the state that produced Wellstone and Mondale somehow also produced Pawlenty and Bachman, but that's a mystery for someone else to resolve in Extra Mystery Theater. It's mystery time politically. It's time to wonder why. So I've heard that Tim Pawlenty, when he was governor, he vetoed money to spend on infrastructure such as bridge repair. And that, of course, as many people know, was not a great idea because a bridge collapse killing several people. I think it's part of the irony of the Republican Party of business that they don't really think ahead for business. Businesses should know to invest, and they don't seem to be doing that, and therefore bridges collapse. So I guess it's sort of the party that lives for today because, you know, as Republicans might say, the world needs ditch diggers and apparently also dead commuters. And he also, I guess, pardoned some child molesters, so that too. Speaking of child molesters, hi. Look who's here!
Hi, Jeff Chrysler. Wait, is my mic? My mic is on! Huzzah!
How are you, Mr. Pundit of Rudeness?
I'm out of breath. So I sound like Tim Pawlenty's child molester.
That's good, and I believe if I can share, I think you just came from a recital from a nothing at a Wasona. Hi, everybody. I wasn't going to get into details about the fact that you were stalking kids around the nation. I was just going to say you're out of breath because you're chasing kids up and down the street.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So, Lee, let me tell you what you've missed. Pretty much nothing. I was just talking about how the candidates, Mitch Daniels has dropped out, and T-Paw, Newt, and Mitt are the worst boy band ever. And discussing a little bit of that info you told me about with Pawlenty cutting off money for infrastructure, such as bridges that eventually collapse.
Yes, that he did, my friend. That he did. It's really a fascinating story. See, he said that... Well, first of all, he calls himself T-Paw, and he calls himself T-Paw. We're not...
He is the man, he is the youth vote-getter, speaking of molesters. He is definitely going after that youth. He's got that kind of beady, cross-eyed look that says, kids, you relate to me.
That says, I'm sitting in a van masturbating outside a schoolyard. Yes, but did you talk about why it matters that he vetoed highway funds and consistently vetoed a raising the gas tax in Minnesota?
Well, I mentioned it was important because we had bridges collapse. Was there another element?
No. Well, there's the bridge collapse.
Correct.
The I-35 bridge killed 13 people. And even after that, even after the bridge plunged into the water.
Splash!
Just like that. Just like that.
With more terrified.
With more screams and gurgles,
yeah,
and horrible sounds,
anyway,
of
let's
cars.
Let's not bring that image.
After that collapse, he still vetoed a 7.5 cent a gallon hike on the gas tax. That the legislature ended up overriding his veto.
You know what? There's nothing about the Republicans. There's no policy of the right that can be contradicted by facts and reality. For instance, did you know that tax cuts will increase revenue? No, it's been proven that doesn't happen over and over and over again. Well, we probably should cut taxes to increase revenue. No. So,
No. And then of course, for Tim Pawlenty, there's the story. See, I think it's actually more important, the whole bridge thing. I think that's really, the fact that he vetoed infrastructure spending. One of my favorite times was when he vetoed a roads and bridges project, a transportation project, budget, and instead wanted his own, and most of the transportation budget actually went to building a convention center instead of repairing bridges.
It is important because, look, as I was saying when you came in, this is the alleged party of business, and any good business knows you have to invest, whether it's in research and development or infrastructure or buildings, and the Republican Party doesn't want to invest. You've got to invest public goods in roads, in high-speed rails they're fighting against, in education, in all of the structures that support an economy and make it thrive that we invested in the 40s and 50s, and yet they don't want to do that. They want to go for the instant money. It's like they'd rather spend money on lottery tickets than food. They'd rather go for the convention center to get the attention of a Republican convention in your state and maybe a few million dollars quick than something that will provide long-term growth. It's the short-sightedness and the blindness of something-something metaphor.
And the thing about it being Tim Pawlenty is Tim Pawlenty is supposed to be the grown-up. You know, you have all these sniveling children running around like Michelle Bachmann, you know, needing her birther. Well, responsible. She's actually not a birther.
Well, no.
She's every other batshit insane thing. But the one that she avoided.
Wasn't she sort of a birther? But then she said, well, I think it's probably okay.
Yes, but, you know, people can believe different things.
Do you believe we are magic?
Yes. And then there's, have we talked to the T-Paw
I mentioned
child molester?
That's how I introduced you, was mentioning
yes,
his molester.
Yes.
You were telling me that he pardoned a molester who then molested again, and then he pardoned him again or something
that? No. It's even better than that. You know, in as much as these stories can be sort of seemingly fictional, mm-hmm. So Pawlenty, this guy molests a...
Tonight on Real Pawlenty Stories.
Yes, he was served 45 days in prison in 1994, convicted of statutory rape.
Not Tim Pawlenty, let's be clear.
No, not Tim Pawlenty.
He does masturbate in vans outside schoolyards, but he did not.
But he's not actually touched a child,
exactly.
As far as we know.
Right.
But you know what, Jeff? We don't know he didn't touch a
and
child.
And really, what is a child? How do
that's
you define?
That's true. That's true. So anyway, so this guy molests a 14-year-old and goes to jail. The girl comes of age. He ends up marrying. The molester ends up marrying the now woman. And so Pawlenty, with the support of the pardon board, granted him a pardon, and so that the guy would no longer have to report himself as a sex offender. You know, you could look at this and go, oh, well, you know what? In the realm of things, that might just be a happy ending, a love story of our time,
sure,
if you will.
Woman's right to choose.
However, the two of them had a child together. Now, one of the things that was something that was support for pardoning this guy was that he was going to stand by his pregnant wife, who was formerly the child that he molested.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know where this is going, Jeff.
Not to a good place, Mr. Bond.
No, not to a good place. No, Katie, do you know where this is going? Do you know where this
story is
going?
Katie hasn't listened to us in weeks.
No, and I'm not listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So where this goes is his wife has a child. And that child grows into a,
this isn't going to end well. I almost kind of want to stop it now.
No.
You are the rude pundit.
Yes. Well, when she was 9 years old, he...
did things.
He started fucking her. He started fucking the 9-year-old. And thus...
Yeah, well, Katie just interjected that it's disgusting. It is disgusting. There is bad in the world.
This wasn't support for anything. This is to say that this is the guy that Pawlenty pardoned, expunged the record so that he was no longer a sex offender.
Was he white or black? Because if he was white, there's no Willie Horton moment. People aren't going to be scared of him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was white.
Yeah, are most sex offenders white? I actually think that there might be some statistics to back that up.
I don't know. Why don't you check racists online and see what that says?
Let's go to racialassumptions.org.
Racial profiling.
.net.
Yes.
So you're saying that, okay, look, this guy was a monster. We can't completely lay this on the feet of Tim Pawlenty. However, he is part of the party of tough on crime, the party that would have Jay Walker shot. And he obviously exercised a little bit of poor judgment. I mean, you know, the fact that a woman who was molested as a child somehow had a little Stockholm syndrome and decided to get married and have a child with the molester doesn't necessarily mean it's a great thing. And to not have any sort of state supervision of that relationship because you've decided to completely pardon someone who was convicted of molestation is a sign of poor executive decision making. So while we certainly cannot ascribe the evil that this man did to the world, to these people.
No more. And you know what?
But Pawlenty clearly could have done a better job as an administrator making it better.
Here's the thing. You brought up the Willie Horton case.
Yes.
And, you know, why don't you go into what that is? Because I imagine that we have listeners. I'd like to think that we have listeners who are young enough not to actually know what the Willie Horton case was.
Willie Horton, and I am on the Google machine to make sure I get the details exactly right, was basically someone who was a felon convicted in Massachusetts. And he was an African-American man with a typical scary-looking mugshot as it came out. Well, it was his look. That's why they chose the mugshot. He looked scary to white America. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. We're white people here talking, but they're...
Dude, Barack Obama looks scary to a large segment of white America.
And Time magazine shaded OJ darker.
Barack
to make him
Obama
look scary.
Is the kind of kid whose ass you could have kicked in high school all the time. So,
exactly. So he was a convicted, I believe, of murder? Is that true? In Massachusetts, he had a conviction. He had a life sentence of murder without possibility of parole.
I just love that, being sentenced to murder.
Exactly. Sentenced for murder. Look, if you're going to get caught up in semantics, then...
No. I just occasionally should act like...
Anyway, Michael Dukakis, who many people will not remember, was the related to the Dukakis woman who was that actor. Anyway, he was the presidential candidate of the Democrats back in the dark days. He ran against George H.W. Bush. And among the things that they did in the pre-Swift voting era was they ran several ads linking him to Willie Horton, who upon his release under Bush...
It wasn't a release.
It was a furlough.
It was a furlough program that had been very successful in letting inmates, even some hardened criminals, have brief periods of time away from prison so that they could act like human beings every now and then.
Shocking. You know, I would think that the corporate prison structure wouldn't allow their subjects...
This was pre-corporate prison structure.
Oh, so there was actually some sort of sense of not just retribution and revenge, but actually rehabilitation and
rehabilitation reincorporation. Was in the air. The people actually talked about that in a serious way and not just laughed mockingly and went, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's weird. Compassion. It's so gone. You know, Jesus would be considered a hippie liberal that known right wing. Anyway,
so Willie Horton. So anyway, the Bush campaign under the direction of Lee Atwater, who was the mentor to
Karl Rove,
put out this ad that said that essentially that that Michael Dukakis was running a revolving door for scary black criminals, right. Especially. In fact, showed a revolving door with scary black and Hispanic people walking through.
And this is also in a time before most people knew how to use revolving doors.
Yes.
So it was extra scary because they just had the swinging doors. They didn't have those things
people,
to open for handicaps.
People thought revolving doors were some kind of Spanish plot against the United States.
Because they were made... with sangria.
You know why? They promoted revolution.
Oh, this is the stuff we were missing the first 2.5 minutes before you got in there. Wow, to think that we have gone a whole 2.5 minutes of our life without... So anyway, the point is, this is a little... look, I can't say it's worse than... what Pelosi did isn't necessarily any worse than what Dukakis did.
But
it will never gain traction because it's not the party of assholes running against him.
Right, but here's... However, he's got to go through the primary season against other assholes. My point is...
Yes.
Let me just try to boil it down to a point here, and that point would be had it not been for the Willie Horton ad that ended up being one of the things that destroyed the Dukakis campaign, we would actually look on moments like the child molester pardon in Tim Pawlenty's career as something that goes on in the career of a governor, and you can't predict the future, just like Dukakis couldn't predict that when he furloughed the program that he agreed to, he didn't even personally furlough Willie Horton.
Correct.
The program that he agreed to that allowed Willie Horton to go on a furlough to where afterwards he committed a horrific crime of raping and brutalizing this couple. That this program that had been so successful, Dukakis then got the blame for the one bad thing that happened. The same thing. Often the compassion that we liberals would normally support, now we've been so damaged, so beaten down by Republican, you know, fuckery, that
we're afraid of being wusses.
Yes, that we don't. That now we sit and look for this shit. We look. We've been degraded, Jeff. We've been lowered. We actually sit there and go, "Oh, he's got a child molester problem." T-Paw.
We have been degraded. I mean, it's a great success of the right that they've dragged us down into the dirt with us. That now, President Obama, who I bet if you ran against Richard Nixon would be to the right, has become this communist hippie liberal. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I'll support Obama against any stiff that they run out there, but, you know, the Republican Party is the better party. I'm not saying they have the better ideas. They don't care about truth. They don't care about justice. They don't care about people. They care about winning. They are Charlie Sheen, but with more whores and better crack.
And less morals.
This is true.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sort of...
No, I had nothing.
Of the story of your thing that you were implying. I should have just let it hang there.
What is a cricket? Can you do a cricket sound effect?
We could get a cricket sound effect.
Well, no, we had
you
one.
You had one?
No,
for,
we had, for
you had
Clarence
one for
Thomas.
Yes, we
Whenever
never
Clarence
used
Thomas
it.
Comments,
yes.
We do. Speaking of crickets, hey, Katie, how about a swoosh? Unless we don't have anything else to go to.
Wow, that swoosh was loud.
Up in your face, world. Here comes a swoosh. Here comes a swoosh. And meanwhile, here's a song. While we decide what we're talking about. When we just know that's not what I mean. I mean the song that I'm singing. Katie, our engineer, is going to play a different song. What are we talking about now? Rude.
Yes. So there's been lots of laws against homosexuals passed lately.
This is true. The anti-gay gays.
Yes. In Tennessee, there was the law that said, first of all, there was the law that said that you couldn't even say gay in the classroom.
Right.
Then,
how do you talk about the 20s?
Or the 1890s.
Right.
Yes, yes. You can't say any. You can't
or
say,
Eric Cantor. How do you talk about Eric Cantor if you can't say gay?
This is true. This is true. And so then Tennessee also passed and was signed into law by.
In case you didn't get the hint how we felt about banning the word gay,
there was a bill that was passed that then said that, you know those non-discrimination laws against homosexuals that
yeah,
some of you
them.
Localities passed?
I've heard of them.
Yes? Well, we're going to say that you can't do that. Mm. And in fact, we rescind all those laws that, say, Nashville passed to say that that it's illegal to discriminate against someone on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. So,
so it's sort of what strikes me about that, beyond it being terribly wrong, is a state and a party controlled by Republicans that always will carp about the importance of states' rights over federal control have basically on a smaller level taken away localities' rights, the ability of each locality, each community to decide what they believe in for their own agenda as they
exactly, exactly. You know, they're all about the individual and, you know, and spreading out, you know, the ability of localities to do things, except when it's actually against what they want. Right. However, not only did the law avoid Nashville's progressive law, mm-hmm. but it said, I mean, this is how dickish they got. They said, not only that, nobody can pass any law that says that it's illegal to discriminate against gays or transgendered people. So, therefore, in Tennessee, businesses, go right ahead and ban gays from your workplace. You are allowed now, under Tennessee law, to do so.
You know, there are dicks in this world, and I don't know what they think they're doing. I don't anyway, tell me some other bad gay laws. You know, you can no longer smoke outside in New York City. That's banning a gay activity. You can smoke on sidewalks.
You can't smoke in. You can't smoke on in parks, beaches, or public walkways. And so
that's gay.
That's yes, that is.
Also, there is the Minnesota law that did some stuff. Was it a gay marriage law?
Yes, Minnesota passed a law that that prohibited gay marriage. Again, they already had one prohibiting gay marriage. However,
Michelle Bachmann can still live there.
Yes,
but what's your however?
However, there's now going to be a ballot initiative to put gay marriage into the Constitution, even though the legislature just made it unconstitutional.
What do you mean to make a constitutional amendment to this in the state of Minnesota's constitution that allows gay marriage? That's what's
yes,
happening.
Yes, right now the Republican controlled legislature and the state senate approved a measure that said that. It's actually, this is what's happening. Sorry, I'm getting my politicking confused.
Okay.
So there was an amendment passed that by the legislature that said gay marriage, not allowed. Nobody can ever pass a same-sex marriage law in Minnesota. However, since it's an amendment to the Constitution, it has to get voted on by the, you know, voters. And now the fight goes to the ballot box.
Ballot box, that's gay. And also in New York State, gay marriage is, what is the status of that? I know it's coming up again.
Bloomberg's cranky about it. Mm. Bloomberg just spoke today, I think, saying, it's got to be done now! Now!
You know, this gay marriage stuff, it's sort of that classic red herring. It shouldn't really be an issue, but it is. And I think one of the things that it red herrings us away from is the Republican tactic of hostage taking. Again, when Eric Cantor, yeah, I know it seems like it comes out of the blue.
Wow, but I feel like our whole discussion of gay marriage was a red herring for the topic you really wanted to talk about.
Well, no, because I realize as we're talking about it, I feel like it's a significant problem that there are people that are making these laws. However, I am more disturbed at the moment by the Republican hostage shaking. Obama, he used it back when he extended the tax cuts in December, used the phrase hostage shaking. I hope that gets hammered home, because Eric Cantor, speaking of gay, said he wasn't going to release funds to victims of tornadoes unless his whatever the fuck issues got dealt with.
Unless there were things that set off any emergency spending bill. And so what they did you hear what they did?
What did they do?
They passed something that said, yes, we'll give $1 billion for tornado relief. However, we're going to cut $1.5 billion from research into cleaner cars.
What an asshat. Did they do that when they funded the Iraq War? Tax cuts?
So it wasn't even that they cut $1 billion somewhere. They decided, fuck it, let's just take another $500 million just to have some spare change to tell the teabaggers that, hey, look, we cut an extra $500 million so that...
Why would you invest in stuff that would help the environment when you can instead just throw money at environmental problems? And I'm saying these tornadoes are caused by the environment. There's been signs that that's not necessarily the issue, but they're just.
I thought they were caused by the intensity and the frequency of them was caused by warming oceans. What have you heard
that
differently?
That is hurricanes. No, but not also tornadoes. I've heard that there's not a consensus on that, and I tend to lean towards a scientific consensus. That is a possibility. I think it's a distinct possibility. But I've heard from people, like I said earlier, and then I heard myself say it, then I repeated it, that there's not a consensus.
Really? I had not heard that.
I had. I really thought when it comes to these Republican tactics, I thought we didn't negotiate with terrorists. But these guys are terrorists. They're willing to let people suffer and die for their petty ends. They're willing to pass voter ID laws to take away the democracy that people marched and died and were sprayed with hoses to uphold. They're willing to gut the Consumer Financial Protection Agency because, heaven forbid, consumers are protected from the predators that they get campaign donations from. You know, when they talk about Democrats say that if somebody wins an election, I'm going to go to Canada, where are these Republicans going to move? 1930s Germany? Are they going to move on to, like, the asteroids bringing Armageddon? Because sometimes I think that's what they want. They want everyone to be uneducated, unsaved, unmedicated, poor, and just that way they can gather all of their money, all of their resources, and get on a spaceship to planet Ayn Rand. Because I don't understand what they could possibly want except the end times. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want to have the rapture come. Maybe they were hushing up this guy, and maybe they really did strike down Jesus with a NORAD missile, as we said on thefinaledition.com. Check it out. Plug. But I don't know. I don't have an end to that rant. It's something that we're going to have to keep talking about. And we're going to have to keep talking about the Democratic balls and all the other things. What?
Before we get to our last little story,
yes.
Let me plug something, too.
Do it, do it!
I'll be giving a reading for my new book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac, at HousingWorks Bookstore in Soho in New York City on Tuesday, May 31st. Joining me will be the cartoonist for Get Your War On, David Reese, as well as bloggers and writers Jill Filipovic, Rachel Sklar, and Sadie Doyle. And introducing the show will be... who is it? Who's going to be introducing the show?
Jeffrey Chrysler, superstar.
Jeffrey Chrysler will be there. So come on out, 7 p.m., May 31st.
Tuesday!
And also you can pick up the Rude Pundit's Almanac at orbooks.com.
Will there be books there for them to pick
there
up with your signature?
There will be books, and I will sign it. I will say something mean in there. One last story.
What is it?
Did you see what happened at George W. Bush this week?
I did not see what happened at George W. Bush, but I know what you mean. You mean the thing with the baseball? You said at what happened at George W. Bush. Because you semantic to me earlier when I said of before.
You just fucked me with your semantics. Thank you.
Yeah, swinging low, sweet chariot.
Yeah, there was somebody hit a foul ball and it headed towards George W. Bush's box.
We're going to put the link to this video on our Facebook page so you can see the reaction.
He cowered like a little pussy.
He did, and I think it shows something about the character. I'm pretty sure Obama would have grabbed that ball, protected all the women, spiked it, and then gotten yelled at for crushing leather into the ground.
Yes, wait, I'm watching it right now. Let's see, it's going. Oh, he's cowering like a bitch!
We put that on the Facebook page, a little link.
Yes,
to that. He does. He hid behind, was it his mom or his wife that he hid behind?
He hid behind Laura, and
Republicans hiding behind women. There's your work policy, Palin, Bachman, et al. Ladies and gentlemen, I think our point is we love and miss George Bush like you would a bad marriage or a tapeworm. And we are here every Thursday, 8 o'clock. You can also check us out online where you can see some archive shows.
You can also go to rudepundit.podbean.com for in order to subscribe to the podcast.
You can check us each out on the Twitter machine. I'm at Jeff Kreisler, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R, and he's at...
I'm at Rude Pundit on the Twitter.
And the Facebook page where we want all your feedback is Cheater and the Rude. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been... Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. We hope you'll join us every single week. Lee, do you have any last thoughts?
I'm Lee Papa.
I'm Jeff Kreisler.
Have a good rest of the week.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah.